Yes, if you just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And good morning. Good morning and welcome. Welcome. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. The 17th of of March. So a very good morning and thanks for joining us. And David, thank you for, you know, handing over the mic to the big mic. So welcome, a very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself this morning. So welcome, and we love to have you here. And yeah, it has become the time where we unpacking the headlines. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economic, and politics that are making headlines. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers, especially numbers, which are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared by during our segment by you don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your space. This is your platform to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of eight. Yeah. So I think I can hear myself. My voice sounds like a bug in the container. I think there's a virus going around, a flu virus that is going around, and unfortunately it got me. So it got me, and that's why you can hear that my voice is a big, like it's like some kind of like no more than go ni mairimo or diri moshike moshi to iro irimo momindo ali. All right, good morning, and thanks for joining us. And as I always said, we love having you here, and it's a pleasure for us, you know, to have you in our company. All right, so as usual, we look at we start with looking at history, and let me greet my fellow African, wherever you find yourself. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Time could be different wherever you are across this beautiful, beautiful continent and beyond. Welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we're talking. We're taking a journey through history. March 17th has given us some truly powerful moments, you know, moments of change, moments of tragedy, and moments that shape nations as well. So let's dive right in. Now, let's begin in South Africa, you know, in South Africa, Africa de Sud. And my friends and my dear listeners, this is a big one, okay? This is a big one. March the 17th, 1992, a day that changed everything. Yeah, now, I want you to picture this, okay? Millions of white South African walking into a booth. You know, they are not voting for a leader. This time, they are not voting for a leader. They are voting for the soul of their country. They're voting for the soul of their country. No, the question on the ballot, should apartheid, that brutal system of racial separation, should it finally end or should it continue? Yes or no? No, and here's what happened. So nearly 69%, yes, 69% say yes. Nearly 7 out of 10 voters chose to dismantle apartheid, a system built on decades of oppression. And on this day, the people, especially the white, because the only white voted that, voted to tear it down. All right? So now, this wasn't just a vote, you know, on paper. This vote opened the door. It opened the door 2 years later, in 1994, South Africans, all races, South African of all races, you know, colored, black, Indian, Chinese, whatever. So all races went to the polls for the first time. And who walked out as a president? Nelson Mandela, a man who had spent 27 years in prison, became the father of a new democracy. So March 17th, 1992, the day South Africa chose a different path. All right, now let's move now to the north, up to the north, to Eritrea, March the 17th, 1988. Now, this is a small liberation army takes on a giant. Okay, the Eritrea People Liberation Army launches a massive, massive offensive against Ethiopian forces. Now, this wasn't just another skirmish. So this was a battle of Afabet. So it was called a battle of Afabet. Now, picture mountains, desert, determination of these soldiers, Eritrea fighters, outnumbered, outgunned, but fighting for something bigger. Just like the Plant Combatant, fighting for something bigger than themselves. Independence. Now, the Battle of Afabet, became a turning point. From this day forward, the momentum shifted. Eritrea was no longer just dreaming of freedom. They were fighting their way towards it. Now, in 1993, after 30 years of struggle, Eritrea was finally became an independent nation. And now, we must speak also of a tragedy. Now, this happened in Uganda, March the 17th, 2000, in Uganda. A cult called the Movement of the Restoration of Ten Commandments of God. Now, just days earlier, a fire had ripped through their church. Over 500 people died. Now, and on this day, investigators discovered more bodies as well. So more members of the cult killed in what became one of the largest murder suicide in modern history. Actually, they were locked in, and then the suicide bombers actually then, you know, blow up themselves. Now, their final death toll, over 1,000 souls, really, men, women, children, people who were promised salvation, people who trusted their leaders, and people who never came home, you know? So, I know, this day now reminds us that history is not always a story of progress. Sometimes it is a story of warning, okay, of vigilance, of the need to question, to protect the vulnerable, and to remember those we lost. Basically, that's all what we have today. That's our look at March 17th in African history. So, thank you for joining me on this day in Africa. And just before we go with what we have to do today, just before we go with our own days, and let's have a thought for the day, something that we need to think about. Now, you know, there's this powerful, powerful African proverb that says, a leader who does not listen will find himself surrounded by people with nothing to say. A leader who does not listen will find himself surrounded by people with nothing to say. If you are in a position of leadership, it doesn't matter whether at home, at work, or even in your community, So, and you don't listen, people eventually stop talking. Now, not because they have nothing to offer. Not because they have nothing to offer. But because they feel they are unheard. And that is dangerous, because real leaders, it's not about being the loudest voice. It's not about being the loudest voice in the room. Real leaders is about creating space for other voices to be heard. Now, in fact, African wisdom has always emphasized that leadership is rooted in humility and listening, because that's where understanding and good decisions come from. So, today, here's something simple to carry with you. Before you speak, listen. Before you decide, listen. And before you lead, listen. Because the moment people stop talking to you is the moment you have stopped leading them. It's the moment you have stopped leading them. That is the thought for the day. All right. A very good morning. And if you're just joining us, you haven't missed much, but we still have a lot to come. Our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of eight. Yeah, huh? Am I seeing right? You know, I'm today. You know, I might be. So because what I'm going through. All right, no, I wouldn't do that. Okay, when we come back, we look at what we have in store for you this morning.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back, and a very good morning to you. So, yeah, what do we have on the menu this morning? Yesterday, there was something that I wanted to discuss, and it's very, very, very important. It just shows how the kind of business, how we do the kind, how do we conduct our business. Namibia, Namibia's agreement to retain only a 30% share in a critical desalination plant, while we have a Chinese state-owned firm control about 70%, that hasn't been received too very well by some political leaders. They see that as dangerous, as a dangerous privatization of the nation's water supply. So we're gonna get into that and have your reaction. And your opinion, what do you think about it? But today we also have, we're focusing more on plants. So now during the Russian, during the Namibia-Russia Business Forum, official discussed the establishment of a fertilizer manufacturing plant. Okay? And this manufacturing plant is aimed at reducing import dependence and also boosting agricultural production across now the country. Sounds very good, you know, but are there some implications and challenges? So that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to unpack. I hope you unpack that with me as well. And you know what? As always, your participation will always is also part of this show. So Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So, and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm Michael Chiavelli, and I will be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Tate France, Mbarangaja, or Kamati Koka Pofi, who will be coming to you, who will be coming with Kufa Mosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that program as well. So, yeah, so we are talking about the water. The water that comes out of the sea get cleaned up, and that costs a lot and a lot and a lot of money, and flow into your tap, especially those of you who are in Erongo. So we're talking about you. So now the deal has just surfaced, you know, that is really, really, really shaking our political halls. You know, when you go through the halls where you find these guys talking, yeah, they're talking about that. And they kind of like that also raising some eyebrows across Namibia. Now, a 3 billion desalination plant is being built on our coastline. Excuse me. On our coastline. And the government, your government, my government, walk away with 30% of the stake. And a Chinese state-owned company, let me repeat that again, a Chinese state-owned company get a 70%, get a 70%. And that's what we're going to look at on Unpacking the Day. Now, so, you know, I don't read word by word of the stories, but I'm going to give you the background. Okay. And where are we? How do we get there? Okay. How do we get there? Let me give you some kind of background. Namibia, of course, is the second most arid country in Africa. We're actually the second most arid country in Africa. So we don't have the luxury of mighty rivers like some countries running through our interior. No, we don't, you know. The rainfall is unreliable. The rainfall is unreliable in Namibia. The groundwater is limited. And drought quite often hit us very hard. And it happened quite often. So, yeah, flood also does happen, but we don't do anything with water. So that's also a fact. Last year, we were living through what experts actually called the worst drought in 100 years. Worst drought in 100 years. So 100 years. So that should tell you everything about our water crisis. Now, Namibia's first major desalination plant, the Erongo desalination plant, was built back in 2010 by a French company called Orano, now formerly known as Areva. So it was built to save, when it was built, it was actually built to save the uranium mine at Trekopi. You know, when that mine was suspended, the plant pivoted now to save towns like Swakopmund and surroundings, the surrounding mines operation as well. So it became the largest desalination facility in Southern Africa. Now, for years, our government tried to buy that French plant. It never happened. So they said, all right, fine, let's build our own. And that is how we arrive at today's story, at this where we are now. That's how we arrived at. Now, in December 2025, NamWater and this is our national bulk water supplier, established, when was NAMWATA established? Established in 1997, signed a joint venture with Swakop Uranium. That company is a subsidiary of China General Nuclear Power Group, a fully state-owned Chinese giant that we're talking about. Now, together, they will build the Erongo Sunan, a Sunan desalination plant, now set to produce about 20 million cubic meter of water per year. Well, that's actually massive. That's quite a lot. That's quite a lot of water. Okay? Now, here is what makes this now whole thing very interesting. Is it interesting or maybe controversial? Whatever, you figure that out. All right? Now, the Hosab mine, owned by Swakop Uranium, is the world's largest open pit uranium mine. You know, it's also the single largest water consumer in the entire Erongo region. A single largest water consumer in the entire Erongo region and second biggest in Namibia. After who? Of course, after you people in Windhoek, after the city of Windhoek. So, city of Windhoek is the largest water consumer in the country. So, now, the mine has been struggling with inconsistent water supply for years. So, and losing nearly 1.9 billion because of it, because of what struggling. And these are the things that David talked about it, and I think it's something Andreas mentioned it yesterday. So there are certain things, water, energy, if we don't sort out those two things, there are other things as well, other infrastructure as well. We're not gonna go anywhere. So they're losing nearly 1.9 billion because of it, because of inconsistent water supply for the year. Now, Swakop Uranium need this water. They need this desalination plant. They need it desperately. Okay? Now, the deal was endorsed by cabinet. About 60% of the project cost will be financed through debt raised by their joint venture company itself. So now, when this now, you know, become public, now here's where things get a bit hot. Okay? Become a little bit hot. Okay? Because the moment this deal became public, opposition party came out swinging. They came out swinging, my friend. Let's start with IPC, IMS Nashinge. All right? It didn't actually beat around the bush. Didn't mince his words, really. He essentially called the arrangement a form of water privatization. Well, it's up to you to figure out whether that's the case or how do you interpret this whole thing yourself. So how do you see this whole thing? Now, this is an opposition party. So they see this arrangement as a form of water privatization. So the very thing the government had promised it will never do. That's one thing the government had promised from 1990. Water, this basic service to our human needs will never be privatized. So now the Mr. Nashinge feels that this it's a form of privatization. Water is in the same sovereign conversation as land, as mineral and energy. But we privatize that. There is a privatized land. There is a privatized mine. Okay, there are privatized private, not privatized. What am I talking about? Please, guys, excuse me. Today, I'm not myself, really. All right. So there's a private, you know, mine's private, you know, individual. Maybe yeah. So what is he talking about? And now we have handed the majority control of water production facility to a foreign commercial entity. So he says that is not partnership. And it is not, actually. If you look at 70%, you know, to 30%, that is not partnership. That is a surrender, according to Nashinge. That is a surrender. And frankly, it's hard not to feel that stink when you hear it put it that way. No, seriously, when you put it that way, there is a stink to it, you know. So his argument goes further. If NamWater is providing guarantees to back a project in which it holds only 30%, then Namibia is carrying financial risk that is completely out of proportion with its ownership. So we carry more risk but own less of the reward. Does that actually sound like a fair deal to you, you know, Namibia? My dear listener, do you think that it sounds like a fair deal? And then we have the PDM, Geoffrey Mwilima, actually echo more or less those concerns, pointing to something equally important, the exclusion of local entrepreneur and the private sector, Namibian local entrepreneur and the private sector. So he argues the government should have insisted on a 50-50 split. Okay, that's more like partnership. At minimum 50-50 split. And beyond that, where are the young Namibian with skills and ambition who could have actually been cut in this deal? Why weren't they considered? Those are the questions. There are no, Joe, I mean, if a Chinese state-owned company owns 70, well, they have more share to decide what they want. You understand? Well, we have some political analysts who add also sobering layer on it. So when a foreign investor holds a majority control, they also hold a significant influence over pricing decisions. That's now the thing, you know? And here is the thing about desalination. So it's already one of the most expensive technology in the world. Just imagine if it uses enormous amount of energy. Remember electricity that we're talking about? We talked about that yesterday. And NamPower is even asking to increase the tariff. Eh? It uses enormous amount of energy. Now, aid loans, interest payment, what is the other thing? Investor return requirements on top of that. So, and tariff. I think it will only go in the direction of up, you know? The people least able to afford water will be the one actually squeezed the hardest. Seriously. Yeah? They will be the one, you know, squeezed the hardest. So, now, let's be fair. What NamWater and Swako Puranim say, they also have the same. So to be fair, on this show, and on this show, we always try to be fair. Okay? We try to bring that balance all the time. So, the other side has a response as well. So NamWater say this was not a reckless decision. It came through a cabinet approval backed by feasibility study. Now, the original plan was for Swakopmund Uranium to build its own private desalination plant. That was the original plan. Now, the government stepped in and said, no, If you are building water infrastructure on our soil, our national utility must be involved. All right? Must be involved. That intervention at least preserved. That intervention is what actually prevents the public. That 30% that we're talking about, sector, sit at the table. So they should be on that the table. And what they be given now, the 30%. Now, Swakop Uranium, for its part, also argues that NamWater remained the sole distributor of water to all ends of to all the end users, and meaning the tap stays in Namibia hands, even if they plant, well, itself it doesn't. Now, but the thing is, they also pointed out that Huiseb Mine will buy water from NamWater under the same commercial terms as any other customer. So no special treatment, no some kind of backup door, backdoor kind of arrangement. So just the same commercial terms as any other customer. But here's my question for you. Okay? So you tell me all this, but one thing you notice is that, you know, is owning the distribution pipe enough? Yeah, when you own now the distribution pipe, is it enough if someone actually owns their source? You know, there's someone who owns the source and you just basically actually own the distribution pipe. Yeah. So you only control what comes into your pipe, but this who owns the source can actually decide to open the source or close it. You understand? You only regulate what is in your pipe, but otherwise, the one who in charge of the source have more power. And that's the Chinese state-owned firm. All right? So you can say what all you want, but yeah. But the other thing is that let's look at this in a bigger picture, eh? At the full picture. So the China General Nuclear Power Group is already deeply embedded in Namibia through the Huiseb mine. You know, now through this joint venture, it gains a majority stake in our second largest water infrastructure project. So this is not happening in isolation. It's not happening in isolation across Africa as well. You know, CGN, you know, the China General Nuclear Power Group, is expanding its footprint. Now, in nuclear energy, they are expanding in various things, in nuclear energy, in renewables, in critical infrastructure. Namibia sit right at the heart of that expansion. So this is not about diminishing, you know, China. We're not trying to do this. This is about Namibia understanding the terms of engagement. It's for us to understand what is the term of engagement. Sovereignty is not just about flags and borders. Eh? It's about who controls the resources. Eh? Who controls the resources that make life possible? And this is one of them. Water, land, minerals, energy. When foreign state-owned entity holds 70% of your water production, the conversation about sovereignty is not academic. It is not academic. It is immediate and deeply personal. Seriously. It is not academic. So, let's interrogate this. Okay? Let's interrogate this. You know, maybe let me have some questions that, you know, that help us to maybe to focus a little bit. Now, if NamWater didn't have the capital to lead this project alone, if they didn't have money, why wasn't the African Development Bank, the Developing Bank of Namibia, or sovereign bonds, explored first. Why were they were not explored first? Because they have the facilities that fund this kind of project. So before you're handing 70% to a foreign company, there are facilities from the African Development Bank, eh? And the Developing Bank of Namibia. One can also think of this as sovereign bonds. So, before handing 70% to a foreign company, now, in a country where ordinary people are already struggling to pay for basic services, majority of people struggling to pay for basic services, what happens to the family in Swakopmund when the majority foreign investor needs to recover cost and decided tariff must rise? Because they need to recover their cost. And they would decided, okay, let's increase the tariffs. And most importantly, is 30% of a 3 billion project a strategic national resource really a partnership? Seriously, is that a partnership? Or is it something closer to what the critics are actually calling it? Let's interrogate that. Let's have a conversation. 0833-66091-08 333-66091. What is your take? So 30%, that's all we got. 0833-66091. So do come through and have your say, have your reaction, have your contribution. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. Okay, that's the number.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, wherever you are. You can listen to us. You can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM website or Eagle FM mobile app. Well, what you need to do, you can just download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play and Play Store on the app. And then voila, you are connected anytime, anywhere, whether inside and outside the country, you'll be able to listen to your favorite show. You won't miss anything. And on top of that, on the app, there is a lot news, schedules, vacancies, you know, reports. There's so much. So make sure that you download that. It's not only for you to listen. It's just that there's just so much that you can get. And please do follow Eagle FM and the Villager. Do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our social platform. We are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, and do engage with us on these social media platforms. And make sure you leave those, you know, things that we like, those love signs, like, and those up thing, you know, that hands that so up, and a comment. There's so much that is on there. So make sure that you interact with us. And this is also while I'm here. So if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. Okay. But simply, what you do is just simply sending, a WhatsApp message with your name and your email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And what? The Villager is published, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So today is Tuesday. Make sure that you subscribe so that tomorrow you get your copy. Okay? So it's not, kulikoni my sigaka, eh? Mi karika koni my siga, please. Okay? Wakponyota puikine kucha, what is happening in the world in terms of, economic or alandule kendishi, to saving ege, social media ndishi. Alright? get the news, get subscribe, and then you, that's delivered to you for free. Alright? So, yeah, what did we talk about? Just maybe a summary of what we talked already. Namibia is building a second badly needed desalination plant in the Erongo region, and this is genuinely good news. It's a genuinely good news for water stressed nation. We are a water stressed nation, so the plant will produce enough water for industries. Especially in that region, for communities and also the mining, the mines that are across that region. So that's a good news. So, but the ownership, that is the challenge. 30% for the state and 70% for the Chinese state-owned company. This is even a state-owned company. And that has actually triggered some serious political and I think philosophical debate as well about what national sovereignty really means in the 21st centuries. That's what it means. That's what it comes to. What is the national sovereignty really means? Yeah. So sometimes if you have to think of this, if you look at what private, what foreign investors own, if you take that apart, take everything that is owned by foreign investors, you probably actually left with nothing. Look at the building. Okay, let's play a game where you're taking out anything that belongs to a foreign investor, okay, including South African company. All right, so we started taking out the infrastructure in Windhoek. Well, take out Sanlam. If you take out Sanlam, that beautiful building is gone. All right? That beautiful building is gone. Okay? You take out F&B. That other beautiful building there, it's gone. Old Mutual. The only building that's going to left in there is actually probably the Indongo Gardens. That's the only building that's going to left to be. And maybe the ministry, is there any ministries building there? So it's probably that's the only thing that's going to stay remain there. Most of them, it's gone. You realize that you actually have nothing. Okay. I'm talking now infrastructure in terms of building. If you started just poof, gone. You realize we will end up absolutely empty. Windhoek will end up empty. Most of things that are standing there are actually foreign owned. Eh? So if we do that in terms of minerals, you know, what do we own? You started to mention this mine. Well, it doesn't belong to you. That one, it doesn't belong to you. That one, it doesn't be that one of cobalt doesn't belong to you. The one of lithium doesn't belong to you. The one of uranium doesn't belong to you. The gold one, that one we have a 50-50, all right? We have half of it, okay? You know, you realize you actually got nothing. Eh? You get nothing. Oh, man, yeah. So, 30 for the state and 70 for the Chinese state-owned company. Yeah, and as I said, that has triggered some political and, some philosophical debate, really. So, yeah, and this was I was hoping you could actually engage as well. So the government say this structure ensures public participation. So there's a difference between participating and owning something. Eh? We just participate. Eh? You know, when you go to those things, you participate, given a certificate of participate, even those who come last, as long as you participate. That's what the government is saying. So is this structure ensure public participation? And was the best available option given Swakop Uranium original plan to go it alone? So because they were going it alone, we just take the best possible option of having 30%, you know, stake. And critics say the government undersold Namibia's hand, really, and left local entrepreneurs because, and we keep saying, and in our speech, and, you know, local entrepreneurs, we need to, you know, to make sure our local content, you know. So we need our local entrepreneurs to, you know, take up jobs in building the economy. But we keep actually sidelining them by the way how we do business. Eh? Left local entrepreneurs on the sideline and may have set a precedence that put profit above access for vulnerable communities as well. So, you see, because, well, the owners may decided how much you have to, what the prices, he may started to increase the tariff to recover his, you know. All right, the truth, as always, you know, likely lies somewhere in the middle, okay? So, but the debate is worth having loudly, publicly, and urgently. We need to have that urgently, because once this infrastructure is built and these agreements are locked in, there's no renegotiation. Renegotiation will not be easy. So you remember when we, you know, it's like when you have deals for mining, those are 40 or 50 years. So renegotiation becomes impossible. So, and we have to understand this. What is not just, it's not just a resource. Eh? It is power. Water is power. Seriously. You know, one, you have to understand water is power. And on this show, we believe Namibia should hold as much of that power as possible. Eh? We should hold as much of that power as possible. So we can't have someone, a foreigner, decided how much he will open the tap for you. Alright? So 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So yeah, what is your take? 0833-66091. We come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So I'm Mike, your host. Do come through and have your opinion, have your take, have your reaction. All right.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeithanina Omayaguro ni Randi Thomwa Yoe Yongeshefa Yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 53 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is Unpacking the Day, if you're just joining us on Eagle FM. All right, we are talking about the desalination, the desalination plant, in which ownership structure is very, 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 very unbecoming. Yeah, so where the state only owned 30%, and 74% for the Chinese state-owned company. Okay, that's what we have been looking at. And what happened? It has been quiet this morning. All right. So 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. Well, let's move on. Let's move on. So if you're coming through for that, you're most welcome to do that. You're welcome. But let's move on to another plant, equally, another plant that is in the pipeline as well. So let me welcome you. And, so in this segment now, we are talking about we're talking about Namibia-Russia, business forum. That and the recent discussion about setting up a fertilizer manufacturing plant right here in Namibia. So what do you think about that? Yeah. So, you know, our nation, our country spent hundreds of millions of Namibian dollars every single year importing fertilizers. Importing fertilizers. And every bag of fertilizers that goes into our soil come from somewhere else. It doesn't come from here. It comes from somewhere else. South Africa or Russia or other nations. And we are entirely depend on others to grow our own food. Let that actually get into our brain that we entirely depend on others to grow our own food. Maybe not Mahangu. Yeah. Now, imagine if we could change that. Okay? Imagine if we could change that. Imagine a factory right here at home producing every input of our farm need. Right here at home. And sometimes when you think how long we have been independent and we are in that fever, that independence fever, and you think how long we have been, you know, independent and we haven't done that, especially to something that has to do with how we grow our own food. Eh? That should has been a priority, isn't it? That should has been a priority. So, and we still actually, this is still not happening. We're still imagining, we're still actually thinking. We want to have, we still actually, and one thing, even when our people talk, these things happen when it involves a foreign investors. You know, foreign investors, they don't talk. Okay, they come, we want to do this, boom, it's happening. They put money in there, and then, wow, it's happening. It's only when we have these things happening. But from our own self, look, we were talking about desalination plant. It's something that we wanted to do, but how long that is it taken us? Years and years. Now, until the Chinese company comes and said, okay, we're going to do this because we have a mine here. And we said, okay, we can't let you just control the water on your own, so we want to be part of it. Yeah? But we couldn't do that. Yeah? We want to be part, we want to participate. Yeah? It's the very same thing. It's something that is very essential to how we grow our own food. But we're waiting for, you know, how long we have been waiting for that. It's still not happening. It still might not happen. There is discussion, of course, but why couldn't we do this on our own? Why? It is very, very important and very crucial to our own food production. Well, I must stop asking questions, man. So, yeah. Now, and that's exactly what was discussed at the recent Namibia-Russia Business Forum. At this recent forum, top officials from Namibia and from Russia discussed creating a local fertilizer plant. Okay? The idea is quite simple. The idea is very simple. Produce a fertilizer here at home. Reduce import. Well, definitely that would reduce import. Cut costs for farmers. And boost agricultural output. Okay? And boost the agricultural output. And on paper, it sounds like a win-win, okay? But my question is, but wait, what is Russia getting out of it? Yeah? Transparency, what is Russia getting out of it? And that's maybe deserve an unpacking, okay? So, all right, so if you want to come through, 08333-66091 or 08333-66091. What, when we come from this quick one, this commercial, quick commercial, we will get into this. And well, stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mago.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, fine.
Hmm.
You are talking about our own fertilizers in the film.
Yeah, I was just getting into that. So this Namibia-Russia forum, that business forum that was taking place, it was discussing, one of the things that were discussing actually is to see the possibility of having our own fertilizer plant in Namibia.
Yeah, you see, we were having what they call phosphate is also a fertilizer.
Yeah.
There we refuse it to give them phosphate to mine in our ocean. And then now we come again. What if they say, no, we need the phosphate? What are we going to do?
Well, we that's the reason why you should have our own scientist who can be able to, you know, to see things and study things and be able to give the guidelines. Otherwise, you jump when somebody said, okay, no, that's not the direction anymore. We're moving on somewhere else. You just follow because you have no basis.
Yeah, the problem we have, I don't really, if we, maybe we lacking something. We lack information about how people, what is the fertilizer made from, what are the ingredients which are used in to come up with a fertilizer. And then we are ordering the expensive fertilizer. What today I was even heard that the Morocco is also manufacturing fertilizer.
Yeah.
But we are ordering from, I don't know what capacity Morocco is doing. If it is not enough for Africa, or is it because we are not getting, or we are not even having enough information about Malawi, also, Morocco, so doing a fertilizer. Malawi is nearby.
Yeah.
Morocco is nearby. Morocco is an African country.
Yeah, but we could also expand maybe our the green hydrogen ammonia into an industrial scale. In terms of industry, because that's also produce fertilizers as well.
Now we talk about pneumonia, because you talk with it's what you call green hydrogen.
Yeah.
The green hydrogen program is not even started. Not yet.
We have on a small scale. There are other small scale that not on a probably industrial scale, but there are small projects that have started.
And small capacity,
which
is maybe not enough for the whole country, for special agriculture.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, for so far it's more like pilot or something, kind of piloting things, see how it goes, yeah.
But in reality, we must start with what we have. A lot of just waiting for come up with big things which we cannot afford.
But if this is very important for our, how we need to produce our own food, why wouldn't we make it as a priority and have people sent already, food scientists, you know, and have already 3 or 4 or 5 who can actually then head this kind of project?
The problem I have is our own people, because they don't want to start small. They want to start big. They don't want to start small. If you are small, they are not small. Maybe one machine, what that size and so on. That size, let us grow. It start like a baby. Baby starts crawling.
Yeah.
And they scroll, and then you see now it's walking. We don't want to scroll.
We just want to stand up and walk.
Yeah, we just stand up and walk. It is impossible. In human life, it's impossible. Yeah. Maybe it's to animal again, it should do that. But to people, we let us grow. And then it's grow, and then from there, start waking, and then they wake up, and then they...
Yeah. Everybody started there. Yeah. Every country that's a developed country started where they were, using your imagery, you know, crawling until they get where they are today.
Yeah. I don't know why we don't want to do that. Everything may be the demand from what small scale farmers. He said, no, we want somebody who must hear this and then what.
Do you think we have a lack of, and I'm not talking in terms of politically, I'm talking generally in terms of in every sector of our life, economic life. Do you think we lack visionary leaders that can actually get us out of this poverty to somewhere? Yeah,
we lack of that.
Hmm.
Visionary leaders, we are lacking of visionary leaders. Therefore, you see, even the vision which we have, what was brought by visionary leaders, we miss it.
Hmm.
Totally we miss it. No matter we say it because of sake of saying it, it will not be materialistic. It won't.
Yeah.
Because the timeless is very small. But you cannot believe. You cannot say, telling me that the vision 2030 will be reality. No, it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Therefore, we miss off this, we're still lagging off this vision I read that. We don't have them. Totally, we don't have them.
Yeah.
I don't know, when are we going to find that one which may be vision I read that take us the situation in the where we are today?
So it's a challenge. I think it's leadership, not only probably in Namibia. Leadership is very, very, very in Africa as well. It's a challenging. So because probably sometime we talk about potential. Much of the things that we talk about is potential. Everything is potential, but we never made that potential a reality. So unless it's involved foreign investors or foreign companies. And normally when it involves foreign companies, they own that. They start to own that rather than ourselves.
But you cannot say the Africa, many in Africa, the other countries are doing good. Their economy is performing, and the other things are doing better. But by saying that African leaders, what's wrong, that by this way, we can even say we are wrong by saying all the Africans are doing that. We have Rwanda, they're also doing good.
Yeah.
Now we have Zambia, and the economy is performing. In the other country, they have industry in South Africa. Everything we are doing, we are using it from South Africa.
But when you look at when you go deeper, if we look at the level of poverty in South Africa compared to Namibia, so South Africa could be worse off than us.
But also, but I think they do better than us. No matter I don't know how much percentage of the studies is showing the how much percentage of poor people in South Africa compared to
now. Well, okay, I can understand in terms of populations because that would make a difference given our populations. I always said, if you have $100, you have about 5 people to feed, and I have $100 and I have 2 people to feed, and I'm the one who's doing bad and having the same resources, I think we are doing bad in terms of because of our population. We should be doing much, much, much better.
We are looking at the population. If you say this Africa, those people are living in poverty, 15%. It's not equal to Namibia. It is more than even the total population of Namibia. But Namibia is more than that. If you said Namibia, they are having 3.2. But the poverty is standing at 20%. It means that Namibia is doing worse more than South Africa. Africa is doing good.
Yeah.
No matter the number is big, but the population is also big. Cannot be large. It's a high population. We are not alone on that, and we know that we understand what they are doing. When you tell us, you could not tell me that Africa is 20%, and then you are 30, then you said no, we are better than South Africa. No.
Yeah, but normally this kind of study or survey follow the same principle, just to indicate, how bad it does. As much as you look at population, if you look maybe at it, look at 100,000 maybe, that's what maybe looking at, or 100 people or 1,000 people or something like that, using the same category. I mean, the same method. Yeah. So, but I agree with you. I agree with you. With where we are, with the resources that we have, we're not just managing them properly. So we should be far, far better off, because you have to think our population 3.2, you are not even fitting in Soweto, which is actually 6-point-something population, a suburb. You know, we can occupy the suburb. All Namibian can get actually in Soweto Township. And still there are places that we haven't covered.
Exactly. Therefore, by saying that South Africa is doing it better, it's because we see everything in our market made from South Africa.
Yeah.
Many things that we are using in our market from South Africa.
Yeah. Maybe we got comfortable after independence. The machine was working. Everything was working. Maybe we didn't see the need to change anything. And that maybe... that what maybe to our disadvantage in the end could be that the case.
Yeah, therefore let us agree together that you are thinking of visionary.
Yeah.
We are lack of that.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And also to others who contribute.
All right, thanks for coming through.
Okay.
Okay, great. All right, 0833-66091. 0833-66091. If you want to talk to me and look at the topic that we're discussing, so you're most welcome. 0833-66091. All right. We're talking about the the Russia, Namibia Russia Business Forum, that's looking at starting or establishing the local fertilizer plant. And as I was saying, the idea is very, very, very simple. Produce fertilizer here at home. And by doing that, we reduce the import, because we entirely depend on the import from outside. And that would definitely cut the cost for our farmers, and also boost our agricultural output. So, and as I said, well, it sounds simple and straightforward. It sounds like a win, as they said, a win-win. But I was asking, what is Russia getting out of it? You know, what is Russia getting out of it? And so sometimes this we only hear kind of like we are most of the time. Sometimes you hear partnership, but you only hear, you know, how we are benefiting from that, and we don't see how the other partners actually benefit. It's never spoken about. And sometimes we journalists, we don't do good as well. We don't really, you know, go. Okay, what is Russia getting out of this? Okay, what is, you know, are they just producing things for us, or is there any other things that, you know, maybe it's on the table? We might not know that. We will just find out at one point and said, why that so much? Maybe the desalination plant, who owns it? We're going to talk about that. Now, let's get into it a little bit. Maybe give you a context. Okay. The significance of this. All right. So Namibia, as many of you know, does not produce a single gram of chemical fertilizers. We don't. Not a single one. Okay? None. Not one. According now to the Namibian Agronomic Board, we import 100% of our fertilizers needs. 100%. Now, in 2018 alone, we spent over 500 million Namibian dollars on fertilizer imports, mostly from South Africa. $500 million leaving our economy every year just for fertilizers. Just for fertilizers. Now, here is where now it's getting very, 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 very interesting, because in 2024, Namibia imported about 230 million Namibian dollar worth of fertilizers and cereals from Russia. Okay? From Russia. So Russia is already a supplier. They're already a supplier. So the difference now, which is actually a good thing, instead of just buying from them, that's what now we're trying to do. Instead of just buying from them, we are talking about partnering with them to manufacture right here. Now, I'm not that, business is not my, I do business, but it's not my kind of, forte. So, but I was supplying, let's say for example, I'm in Russia, I was supplying fertilizer and cereal, which, in 2024, I got about, 230 million Namibian dollars, okay, by supplying you that. Now you're telling me that you want to, okay, let's partner up where now you want to produce this, you know, you want actually partnering up and manufacture this in here in your country. What would I get out of that? What would I get out of that now? All right. In terms of sometimes politically, these are some of the things that you think, okay, people are nice. They could be nice and said, yeah, let's see, find ways how Namibia can do that. But how do I benefit that? Because if I'm not producing for you anymore, what would I get to that? Maybe then that's where it comes to who owning it, who owning the plant. If I will establish it here and I own it, like the desalination plant that we're talking about, that make a difference. That's at least a business. That make business sense. So even this is a very significant shift from the buyer, from buyer to partner. I think there are things that are not very, very transparent enough to know. Actually challenges from business point of view. Now let's look at what happened. The Namibian Russia Business Forum. It brought together officials from both nations now to explore the economic cooperation. It's not just about the fertilizer things that we're talking, but the fertilizers plant discussion grabbed the headlines. That's what grabbed more the headlines, and for good reasons. So, but there were other economic cooperation that were discussed. The minister highlighted that this plant would save our agricultural green schemes. Now, for those who might know, who might not be familiar, let's talk about what these green schemes are and why they are so important. So our government operates 11 major green scheme projects across the country. 11, you know. You have Etunda in Umsati region, Musese and Sikondo in Kavango, Ndongalinena, Mashare, Shanti Kongoro, Kalimbeza, Shitemo, Vunguvungu, and then there is Hardap in south, the Orange River scheme. You have the Orange River scheme. So these are strategically located along our rivers and dams because they rely on irrigations. So they are the backbone of our crop production's effort. Now, the minister's message was very clear. So a local fertilizer plant would do three things. Okay, the first one would be reduce, of course, the cost of our farmers. And secondly, boost production at the existing green scheme site, that some of those that I just have mentioned. And thirdly, help our subsistence farmers increase their production, increase their yields. So, yeah, that's what the minister actually pointed out, that what with this fertilizer plant, would actually help or the purpose of that. So, and in the long term, so also looking into the long term, so it's that position, it would position Namibia to export both food and fertilizers to other African countries under the African Continental Trade Area. And this is a very bold vision. Seriously, we always have this bold vision. You know, the caller said, what is caller? We don't like to start small. And we always, you know, have these bold, really bold visions. And sometimes comes to a point where we can't even be able to reach those. Talk about Vision 2030. It's so bold. Talk about the NDP6, and the SWAPO implementation manifesto. You know, think of the targets that are there. Are so massive. And when you look at the resources that we have, and you kind of ask, how are we going to achieve that? And I keep most of the time, sometimes asking, how are we going to achieve that? So we're talking already having problems, having, you know, a deficit or you know, backlog of, you know, these and that, and this is how much we need. And when are we going to, we haven't even finished this. How are we going to do this? Someone who's thinking would actually ask that question. And I think if we have thinking people in the parliament, you know, you could even pick up some of this. Yeah? So now you might be wondering, also, why Russia? Why Russia? Why this partnership? I think that the answer lies in our history. Diplomatic relations between Namibia and Russia were established on March 21st, 1990. The very day our independence. So we have this this partnership already. But the connection goes even deeper. Our connection with Russia go even deeper. During our liberation struggle, many SWAPO leaders received training in Soviet Union. Russia supported our fight for freedom when only few others did, actually. So, yeah, thousands of Namibians have been educated in Russia universities. Education remains a cornerstone of our cooperation. But now we are moving from education and political solidarity to concrete economic partnership. Okay, to concrete economic partnership as we see that. So, and the minister spoke about expanding cooperation into agriculture, not only agriculture, but sport, youth empowerment, healthcare, housing. So those are some of the things that has been discussed, and even creative industry. So that's interesting, creative industries as well. So now this fertilizer plant is just one piece of a much larger puzzles, all right, if you want. So there are so many other things that are also going on that are part of the cooperation between Namibia and Russia. All right. All right. So now let's also put our heads together, okay? Let's put our heads together and ask some maybe critical questions here. Because that's what we do here on Unpacking the Day. So we do not just report. We don't just report. We interrogate. We examine. We think critically. That's what you and I do here. That's what this program is all about. Now, Russia is the world largest fertilizer exporter. It's the world largest fertilizer exporter. Russia is one. In 2024, they exported over $15 billion worth of fertilizer globally. Okay? $15 billion worth of fertilizer globally. Now, they produce about 65 million tons annually. Okay? So they are the largest fertilizer exporter. So they have the technology, they have the expertise, and the capacity. They have all that. So for Namibia, actually partnering with a global leader in this field make a strategic sense. It absolutely makes a strategic sense. So yeah, now consider our food security situation. Now consider our own food security situation. Between October 2024 and March 2025, approximately 1.26 million Namibians were projected to face crisis-level food insecurity. So we experienced what experts called most severe drought in a century. So our parliament agricultural committee noted that our dependence on maize imports from South Africa poses a serious food security risk. So anything that actually then strengthen a local production capacity, I think deserve a serious consideration. Anything that actually, you know, strengthen that, I think it's deserve that some kind of serious consideration. And like the fertilizer plant, it deserves a serious consideration. So, yeah, and the Russian deputy prime minister, Yuri, I don't know whether that's the right how you pronounce this, Yuri Trutnev made an interesting observation. You know, made an interesting observation. He suggested that perhaps we should focus first on energy. Okay, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing. If we put all our effort, you know, if we put all our effort into one field, our result will be more evident. If we resolve Namibia's energy deficit, we bring many positive results for development. Yeah, so I just wanted to sound like, you know, the Russians, okay? Yeah, no, he actually raises a critical question. He said that if we put all our effort into one field, our result would be more evident. And if we solve Namibia's energy deficit, we bring many positive results for development. And I still want to know what are they getting in return? That's well nice and said, but it doesn't say this is what we're getting ourselves. And that raises a critical question, a very, very critical question. Can we successfully operate a fertilizer manufacturing plant without first, actually, we can, but without first addressing our energy challenges? Yeah? We need first to address our energy challenges. Fertilizer production is energy intensive. It's energy intensive. Very energy intensive. Yeah? And Namibia has faced electricity shortages. We do. Our power utility has, you know, financial, number has financial strain. And we have some of the highest electricity tariff in Southern Africa, in Africa, actually. So where will the power for this plant come from? Keep asking this because of the reason I have given you. Yeah, where? So where will the power for this plant come from? Those are things that what will cost? What would it cost? These are questions that need answers. These are questions that need answers, from the Russians as well. The Russians need to give us answers as well. Okay. Now another question: what does the business model look like? I think. We were talking just the desolation. We were just talking about the desalination plant. Sometimes English just, you know, the word just get finished and you don't have any more. You have to borrow. You go and buy it, you know. Now, the business model, what was the business model look like? What is the deal? Will this be a joint venture? Would that be a joint venture like we have seen in terms of, you know, the Chinese company having a 70% and we having a 30%? Who owns what percentage? That's the question. Who owns what percentage? Will Russian company run the operations? Because what would they benefit out of it? What is their benefit? That's what I want to know. So, or will Namibian be, you know, be trained and to manage it? So how much of the raw materials will be sourced locally, for example, and versus imported. So there's so much, you know, sometimes, you know, when we are told that we should join the ITI, the IETI, you know, it's be able to have this, the transparency of things that we're talking about. So much of the things are opposite. They're so ambiguous, eh? They are not, you know, everything is on open to say, wow, this is all about, and this is what's happening. Okay? Exactly. So the minister mentioned follow-up activities have been identified. And you see, what are those activities? And we need to see those details. So we need to see those details. Are we putting another minerals on the table? What are we exchanging? You know, okay, build a fertilizer for us. Here is a mine for you. You know, that could be the case. Yeah, that could be the case. Yeah, and it's all yours for 50 years. Enjoy the minerals. Huh? Isn't it? What is going on? The other aspect, we also cannot actually ignore the broader, the broader political context. Okay? So Russia, as you know, faces sanctions. They actually faces sanctions from Western nations. And this has put them to push them to strengthen ties with Africa. I mean, with African countries. Some might see this as an opportunistic. Others see this as an alternative to traditional Western partnership. So, and how do we capitalize on that? So the question is, the question for Namibia is this: are we getting the fair deal? Are we getting the fair deal, or are we being courted because Russia needs friends?
A very good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Daddy Mike.
Yes.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. A bit below the weather. I had the virus got me at last.
Oh.
But I will survive. I will live, you know.
Yeah. We are strong. We are stronger than that, Kafu.
Yeah. I know, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, I want to start with water.
Yeah, the desalination plant. Mm.
Exactly, yeah. You see, Mike, for me, it's where you can see that our leaders, they lost at all. Because the main one thing, this is a basic woman life, fundamental when it comes to woman life.
Mm.
And we've been even crying for it, that, you know, thing we cannot timber. Is one of them.
Yeah.
It's one of the water thing. And now remember one thing, that once you allow the Chinese to detect the water.
Yeah.
What else do you, when are you going to, I mean, what else are you going to tell them if they want to increase the price? Nothing at all. Because remember, they're owing 70%. And they remember, my friend, me, I don't understand when it comes to Namibia. Are we trying to go to the, I think, which country was I not in chaos or because of water? I think either Nicaragua, if I'm not mistaken, because this country is somewhere near to Bolivia. Somewhere they even play a movie for it. There's even a movie for it where people are fighting for water. Just
a
cup of water, my friend.
I think it's Nicaragua.
Yes, Nicaragua. Mm. Are we going that to loot? My friend, I don't understand our leaders. Sometimes the thing which they are doing. Because they try to push Namibia in the corner everywhere and everywhere, but we don't have any reaction. I don't know. And it is a hard time also for Namibian people to wake up. Seriously, when things are happening like this. Because remember, today to be Elongo.
Yeah.
By tomorrow to be Windhoek. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It is just starting like that. Because the moment we feel we are not affected, there's no way. And you think you are, I'm comfortable because I'm far from the north. My friend, if you already have a problem with what? Local authority, charging a lot of higher later when it comes to water. What about now Chinese are involved?
And I'm telling you, water is power.
my friend, what
is power?
You know why we even find ourselves in this mess?
Yeah.
Or with because of our forefather, they used to fight for what? Grazing land and water.
Mm.
And now are we going to do the same? You know, history teaches us. Why are we ignoring it? Huh?
So, and I said earlier on, there are funds available from the African Developing Bank, from the Namibian Developing Bank.
Yeah,
why didn't we explore those options? The monies are there. The monies are there. Yep. So, and this is actually specifically for this kind of things.
Mike, Michael, how many times I cry for it? They say, no, guys, we have a fund which is lying around. GIPF money. We have also social security money, which are there. When are we going to use it then? Are we not be able to use it for this, Randa? So, they can create what? More income. Because they are just there lying around.
Yeah, but
see, and then remember one thing down, if we build it to ourselves, you know that we can make more money by charging those mines.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that was an opportunity. That opportunity was that, look, we build that and then we supply them with water. You know, and we charge them.
This is what I'm telling you with America. What we have, it's not like a kind of lack of what? Expert or lack of what? Technical people or what? Whatever. No. So we have a lack of leadership in Namibia. That is what we are missing.
Yeah.
And we've been having that sense at the end of the founding father.
Yeah.
Because the founding father used to stand up for things which we know. But did you see any leader even coming up, even now, people are compelling here to what? To Bram Traore. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference what they do. And it's what I'm saying, no, this mic, these things are about to be stopped. Because now we have even a minister of mine, crying out, because remember, it's just a title which he has. Because he's saying now, it was yesterday in the newspaper.
Mm.
He's saying now, once we leave a lot of mine at the hand of what? Foreigners.
Yeah.
Are feeling so welcome. But just imagine, he's a minister, but he doesn't have a title anymore because the mine and whatever they are in the president officer.
Yeah, the other thing is that it's one thing.
Do you remember the other time which I am saying it's very dangerous ground which we are going?
Yeah, it's one thing to say. Him. It's one thing to say things like that, but it's another to see how things are. You know, what would you do? What would you do?
You know, for me, I don't want the minister to cry out like the way I'm doing it now. The way I'm talking to you now.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't have any power. But the minister can go there, revoke whatever is happening. He can interfere. But he's crying out like me.
Yeah, no, what I have seen, if you observe very well, most projects that we only talk about, even when you're talking about, we talk about the potential. You know, we are potential to become the producer of this, of oil, of hydrogen, become the regional hump of what. It's all potential, but we're not putting in anything. The only thing is that someone else
do it for us.
We want someone else to come and actually do that for us. We see the potential. We kind of like just priding about potential. You know, we have the potential of this and potential of that, but we never put money where our mouth is. You know?
I'm telling you.
So unless it's an investor from somewhere who actually then what happened now, they own it.
Yeah.
Then they own it.
You might have put the comparison when you're saying no. Look here now, if it happened like Old Mutual, they were going with the withdrawal.
Yeah.
Sanlam. And I'm looking at our building there because now I'm like, even this Capricorn, the new one, you know, from Savani.
Yeah.
And you take FNB there.
Yeah.
Come on, there's nothing for us.
Nothing left in there.
Nothing. They are gone.
Okay. The hotels are not yours, are not owned 100% yet. Take all those will be gone, you know.
Gone.
So you probably will left up without Christy Church there, so they will be gone. Some of the tall building you have in there, the owners are not Namibian.
The owner is not Namibian. Then I hear, you are like, our GDP is growing. But you look at yourself, what you have. Come on. Serious, Mike, it's a hard time, man. Our leaders are serious. They start listening to us.
Because
the kind of deal of like really giving our water. What is in life, my friend, man? That is what our forefathers been fighting for. That's why we're having even division of tribalism now, because some people, they are still holding on the grudge of how they've been eliminated by other tribe. Yeah, because of the grudging land and the water scarcity.
Yeah.
And now we are here giving up our water for free. For nothing at all.
No, man,
Mike. It's a very, very sad story. Anyway, let me go to the fertilizer.
Yeah.
I think that is a welcome, really.
Yeah. And the same question.
Mike, you know what? Me, I don't care even Namibia if they are giving up their mine. Because remember one thing that Russia, they always suggest to non-power about even to have
nuclear power.
I think nuclear power, nuclear power, so they can have uranium. Like the way China are shipping, because they say, remember, up to, you know, the people who broke up that uranium, because they are operating somewhere in the Gobabs.
Yeah.
They're supposed to open it. You know who come? It's the opposition party with Boers surrounding that area. And now, if you look, what is the losing where they are, there also people are living there, their farm near close to. If you look, Namachab, it's the same thing. And now, I'm wondering why every time we are targeting certain people because of maybe political ideology. This is really dangerous ground. Me, I hope Russian, they can come, give us a nuclear power plant so we can generate electricity. And if they are building the fertilizer because of exchange of that, me, I don't have any problem with. Because remember one thing that you, when it comes to agriculture, my friend, that's why we become a banana bloc to South Africa. South Africa, they are the one who controlling that ball.
Exactly. For the main point I'm saying, this has been, it should have been a priority from the very beginning. Because this is how we are going to feed ourselves. And if you have no means of production, how are you going to feed yourself?
Yeah. How?
And I was also asking that, you know, Russia now export fertilizer to Namibia, you know.
Yeah.
Now I'm asking, with that amount of money that they got, why would they want to actually create a plant? In terms of politically, we can talk about and discuss how we do that, but then, unless they're getting something in return, you know, because otherwise I'm losing. I'm building you something what wouldn't benefit me.
For you, for what?
Benefit
what is the benefit for me?
Yeah. And the transparency that we were talking about the other time, you know, with EITI, you know, is that we need to know how are this transaction or this business or these deals are done.
Deal.
What have we given away instead? You know?
Yeah.
Are we getting a fair deal, or we getting so much and so actually much. Get
then
less?
At the end of the day, we get less.
Exactly.
And that's what our government been doing for since
and we don't have 90. Good. I think we don't have good. Doing. We don't have good negotiators. I think we are lacking in that area.
We are lacking. At the end of the day, people are just interested in what getting off the share. Whatever you get there. Doesn't matter how many Namibia are going to suffer at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous ground which you are setting.
Yeah.
Because remember, not phosphate, this one for, what, lithium. It's the same thing. There was not even what, environment, study been done.
Yeah.
But people are already awaiting the what? The crisis state. Remember? Mm. And now, up to now, nothing happened to that gentleman. The gentleman resigned himself and he left, he gets his 50 share. Up to now, not even under corruption following up that person.
Yeah. And that's the loophole. Yeah. Many institutions actually, probably foreign, actually found in Namibia. That
yeah, yeah.
we can go and loot actually in Namibia.
Just imagine, they're succeeding because, remember, if people can accept to get what? Vehicle for land.
Yeah.
What else they cannot accept?
Yeah.
Apart from that, just imagine, what is happening?
I mean, we have the story of Huiz. We have the story of Huiz where the minister was. The reason why they are there is because of illegal mining that was taking place. And imagine for 3 years, and you know how much worth of lithium that was actually taken out?
Lithium has been shipped out. Yeah. yeah. And for us to find out, you know, to find out the value of lithium, it's because the one tracker driver just go honorable Namibian. And I don't know why even get arrested.
And imagine,
that that tracker is where we find it, like, is this how much is worth lithium? And it's been going like this. How many people they know?
And imagine, for 3 years, we just see trucks going, nobody even question what is going on.
Not even, it's what I'm saying. The problem here is the general of army, they've been sorted out. The police, the what, everybody
something,
is in a pocket of opposition.
That could be awesome, But the other thing is that our system works so much in isolation. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah.
And therefore,
Micah, the problem is here, the only certain percentage, they want to control the whole government. That doesn't work like that. Yeah. You cannot be everywhere.
Yeah, no,
I
get the point.
But the people, they want to be everywhere.
Mm.
That's how they are screwing up.
Yeah, because
there are certain people who want to be everywhere, but life doesn't work like that.
You
cannot be myself of the defender, myself who's calling the goal, myself to create pass.
Yeah.
No way. There must be a lot of mercy.
Yeah.
One is a left wing, one is a defender, one is what is calling a striker.
Yeah.
But in Namibia, we just want to be everywhere. That is the problem, and it's where we are getting it wrong.
All right, man.
All right, Chapman.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
083-66-091. So we're talking about plant, desalination plants, and also the fertilizer plant that is in the pipeline, and hopefully that become materialized. Some from WhatsApp that I receive, also some people from someone from on WhatsApp. He said, "Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Big Mike. It's really a shame. We indeed lack visionary leadership and expertise in our country. And until we get that part covered, we will always have the country economy controlled by foreign companies." So that comes through the WhatsApp. All right. Okay. Good morning and welcome. You're most welcome to come through. Okay. And have your say, have your opinion. We always have people listening. Some are the lawmakers, and you just open you just planted a seed in his mind that was not there. So the reasons why you have to come through, it's also to, we have so many people listening. So it's not, there are a lot of people listening. Some are lawmakers, even ministers listen to this. So we want you to talk to them. Sometime you talk directly to the minister. Okay. You talk directly to the president Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking today.
Bon dia, familia. Bon dia.
Kumushita.
Muito obrigado, minha família. Como estás ali?
Ah, estou fixe.
Muito bem. I wanted also to ask to say the desalination plant.
Yeah.
Now what can we do now? Because this thing is there for a long time. And this was a French company, something like that. And I don't copy or recall any benefit we get from that time up to date. No. If the money which China put is too much, then let us put our money if we have money. That's simple as that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. There are money in the African Development Bank. There are money in our developing bank, Namibian Development Bank. So we could have actually get those options. We didn't have. Yes. We look at those options. Yeah.
but now, if there is an option, which will benefit on that option, really, can you just wait for the money to rise? Then you're not doing anything.
The problem is this. You go on having little bit of what is belong to you. You understand? Let's say you have things in your field, and you kind of like just okay. Give me as much as you can, okay? And now the other person now would actually make something out of that. Okay, so and let's say for example, umno unomti wembe, or unomti or unana tangomti wo malunga woshike wo maongo or ne nyanti neno to chikucha ai penge wengine ndo mafela valu poku omcho kufa poiko ove nyanti odo tarabuchu zoringe unyota kufa nyanti esha kufa nyanti yote dilingina nde ini mango imwe nyanti odo kwa dilingina nando oshikuki, you know, kwa ningo oshikuki sha nyanti, you know. So now he's getting more than what actually you should be getting. Now unimavoya vesho vanja poike mu pambu vashona oviteku iteku eteresha vali, that now is not giving you anything. You know, you're only surviving from that. You are surviving from that, but it doesn't help you to develop and grow. That's the problem.
But I think there is because I'm thinking about, like now, okay, I have the water.
Yeah.
I can use the water in many things.
Yeah.
They might also win. I don't know how they think about it. They might also win. But I think I get more than them.
Imagine if we own the desalination and then now they have to buy water for us for their mining. Do you know how much money we will get out of that? But now the water is theirs. So the water is theirs. They're only paying you for your pipes.
Yes. It's like, you know, I think these things of the water, we need to dig more to just to see. I think we are getting more than them. They might get more, but yes.
No,
but,
we're actually getting less than what we're putting in.
Yes, we are getting less, but just think about that, Mike.
Yeah.
If we really sit and think, okay, do we have water? What we can do with this water? We can create even a big clean scheme, agricultural, to whatever, you know? And you can make money.
Yeah, but the owner now, the 70% owners would tell you, I need this money and this water. They are the one who making decision. I agree with you, but they are the one who are making decision. And that's what we have given up.
No, Tadamek, these guys, they cannot import the water from here to China. No way.
No, the water is for their mining. The water is for their mining, the mining uranium, you know. So they need a lot and lots of water. So,
yes, no, but the idea was not for just for mining, because the idea we already are kind of panicking about this drought, this water, just why our city window doesn't grow because of the water and so on. So now, the idea was like, we want to come with this plant.
Yeah,
now,
we wanted to.
Very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive. Now, the government to put 30%.
But do you think now, okay, this desalination would also serve the community, but do you think now me owning more stake, I would prefer, if there isn't much water, the more water goes to my operation rather than actually to the community. So you will be on my mercy. I'm the one who decided, okay, we have enough water. Okay. Now, yeah, some water can go to, you know, to the community. But otherwise, if I need water more than, and you need water, more water will come to me because I'm the owner. I'm the one opening the tap.
Yes. But I think they already told them to say, we are behind when it comes to water. So what we want, we need to come up with this desalination plant for us to minimize our problems. Now, they come up with a plan, I think just when we put the 30%. But in the long run, if you are changing your tracks, my brother, we'll pay you off, then you go out.
No, we can't work on that assumption. So we can't work on assumption that in the long run, that's what we're going to do. No, today we need water, and you are the one in charge.
Yes, but the thing is that they make. You don't have enough money to create that system.
There are money.
You don't have that money.
There are money. They are developing. The African Development Money has got money for those projects. Our own development bank, what was created for, is for those things. Have you checked those options?
But remember, you don't have enough money. Just why you increase the elder 100.
No, Imanuel Twina, what are you doing for the papuko? So money we have, it's absolutely. Now, some money we just let. Yesterday we were talking about the lithium that has been going out of this country illegally. And do you know how much was worth it?
It's millions and millions
that we just let go. Let's slip her like that. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that money could have, if we were really, if we were really, you know, able to control our resources better, we would have that money. And we were talking also, but you remember the other day we were talking about so NAMRA and the Directorate of Mines that are not checking the gold that was actually coming out. So there could have been gold that we didn't actually, that has been just shipped out without really taxing them. So that's another money we are losing. So there are a lot of opportunities where we could have that money that could have actually done something else. We are just incompetent and what? I don't want to use the word.
But I think that the make we are learning. You know, it's like you have a house, Onumbo. This house I can see production there, but I don't see anything. So then I come to rent your house. You are the owner of the house, yes. I come to rent your house. You also got to become a productive entity. But doesn't mean if I take your house, I'll also be mine. No.
Yeah.
No, I'm just showing you ideas for you to be up to date, for you to open your eyes. So now, if these things, this guy, we have water and this issue there, we are learning from it. We are changing our plans. So it's okay. Oh, this is the guy. Okay, next time let us see where we can catch him. But I know if this water really comes out, no, I know they put a lot of money, but we will make more money on the water.
Well, all right.
Okay, that's me.
Thanks for coming through.
Whether
all right. So just probably a takeaway from this important development. First, this is about breaking a fundamental dependency. We currently import all our fertilizers. A local plant charge changes actually that equation entirely. Secondly, the benefit cascade through the economy. Now, lower costs for farmers, higher production, potentially, you know, food price stability, and export opportunity. If then we start to produce more export opportunities, then there's also job opportunities as well, so job creation. So it's a good thing. It's something that we should be positive about. And the Russia partnership built on decades of relationship. I think we have a good relationship, and this is not a new friend. This is an old ally with relevant expertise and resources. So, yeah, I think we in good hands in terms of that. It just depending what we get out of the deal. What do they get out of the deal? Now, there are critical questions remain. Energy supply, because to actually have a fertilizer plant, you need a lot of energy and not of electricity. Ownership structure, that's also an issue. Technology transfer, because we can't keep on relying. We also need to look at implementation timeline. When would be? We keep on, you know, dreaming, you know, the potential. We have a potential of this, a potential of this. Detail will determine success or failure. We need those things actually sorted out. And this fit a continental trend towards into input security. So Africa is waking up to the strategic importance of producing what we need, okay? And this is a story we will continue to follow. The Business Forum has produced outcome document. Follow-up activities have been identified. And as they said, the rubber will meet the road in the coming months. And yes, so we will see. We will see shovels in the ground. Will we see shovels in the ground? Will we see commitment honored? Will we see the transformation promised? Well, that brings us to the end of our show this morning. And thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening. And do that again tomorrow. Let's do that again tomorrow. Let's have another topic that we're looking at that making headlines in the land of the brave or around the continent or the globe. So for me, I'm going to leave you now in a good hand of a capable man that he call himself Mbarangaja. So, and well, let me hand you over to Wintuk, to Komatioka Pofi, Komatiwom Pofi. So for me, Mike, let's do this tomorrow again at the same time. Have a very productive day ahead. Goodbye.